I understand you all are more or less Republicans. Agreed?
That's yes. true.
Agreed.
Yeah, agreed. But looking America from European point of view, Republicans and Democrats have more or less the same tasks. Unemployment, of course, economy, and in a way, terrorism. So why you are so critical about
President Obama?
Or are you?
Shane Hayden.
I'm not terribly critical of President Obama. He is our president, and I will support him. I am concerned, however, about some of his policies at a time when our nation is experiencing significant economic stressors, as is the rest of the world. The very liberal Democratic posture of spending and spending and trying to spend your way out of problems is not consistent with the my understanding of America.
Yes, but even Republicans would socialize banks.
Mike Monroe.
George Bush initiated the purchase of the banks, or what we call bailout of the banks.
Yes, because it had to be done.
Yes, at that point it had to be done, because if the banking system were to collapse, our entire economy would collapse. What Obama has done is he's taken it a step further. Not only is he bailing out the banks, but private industry, where it not necessarily has a tremendous amount of effect on our whole economy. For instance, the automakers and insurers, et cetera. The general philosophy of America, I think, is capitalism and free enterprise. And the government control of private businesses is frightening to a lot of us, because our whole economy, our whole way of life is built around capitalism.
Audrey Hayden.
I would agree with what he said about that. I would also just further comment that the bailout that was voted on after Obama became president, the second bailout that happened in February, was a so-called bipartisan agreement, but really only three Republicans voted in favor of that. And when it passed through the U.S. Congress, no Republicans supported it. When it went through the Senate, three Republicans supported it. So in that passage of that particular bailout bill, three people that were Republicans agreed to it. So it's difficult for me to call that a bipartisan measure.
In Finland, we have coalition parliament. And here, if Republicans win or Democrats win, everything is changed. Does it make any sense to change everything?
There is a core value that is held by the Republican mentality that calls for responsibility on the part of each individual, calls for each individual to play an active role in assuming responsibility for the development and well-being of his country and his economy. That core value is a little different in the Democratic Party, which seems to hold the government responsible for maintaining infrastructure and the well-being of all individuals, and from the Republican perspective then diminishes, or at least diminishes the individual responsibility that all of us as citizens should hold.
But if you have good civil servants, so why they should be changed?
Why should our civil servants be changed? Well, honestly, there is, we say the pendulum swings, okay, to the left and to the right. Mm. And I think right now it's swinging to the left, so it's being more liberal. They like to say progressive now. Liberal is not a word they like to use anymore. So it's now more...
Why, by the way?
Because...
What liberalism means to you?
What liberal means to me?
Yes. And it is not used anymore.
Yeah. Well, I use it, but they don't use it.
And, okay.
Well, the connotation is that a tax and spend liberal. Okay, there's two philosophies. One is, and this is my core issue. My core issue is are taxes. Mm. I'm a small business owner. The more money I have available to me that I'm not giving up in taxes, the better my business does. Mm-hmm. And that does not only benefit me; it benefits everybody who I work with. Right now, I have 200 employees. those are 200 families that have insurance because they have a job at Thermal Supply. Now, I'm benefiting, obviously, as a business owner, but so are the people that I work with. So are the people that I buy trucks from. So are the people that I hire to build buildings. So that's the American way, is I risk my money, in a sense, to better myself, but it benefits everybody who I am working with, and the people that supply me, and the people that, you know, I purchase from or who purchase from me. So that's the core. If you ask me, the core difference between a Republican and a Democrat, one has belief in the capitalistic system, giving money, allowing the money to play in the economy, as opposed to giving it up to the government and have them decide what to do with the money, or have them decide how the money is to be, how the resources are to be spent.
But somebody have to decide anyway what to do with the money.
Well, yeah. I mean, if I'm a business owner and I earn the money, right, I'm going to make good decisions that are going to make it so I can earn more money. And that's what makes our economy run. Every transaction gets taxed.
Mm-hmm.
So the idea is you have as much money in the economy turning in transactions over and over and over again, because each time a purchase is made, each time a decision is made with the money, it generates revenue for the government.
Somebody else, anything to say? Kathy Hayden?
Well, I have something to say, and it isn't quite on that same strand of thinking, but back to what Shane was saying about accepting individual responsibility. Not that many Democrats do not accept that, but what I hear as an artist with a lot of artist friends who are strong Democrats, I'm not a Democrat, although I'm closer to being a Democrat probably than anybody else at this table, in that I support more of the social program ideas. But what I'm hearing a lot of, and my point that I wanted to make, is I hear a lot of the government does this, the government's going to do this, we're going to look to the government, we're going to depend on them. And it's bothering me because we, the people, are the government. And we're making the choices, and I would like to think that we're all going to step up and take responsibility for the decisions our nation makes, as opposed to just expecting all these benefits to come our way without having to take responsibility.
So you almost could be a Democrat.
Monty, when you take the decision-making away from the individual, whether it's a small business operator, the private practice psychologist, or any other individual, the assumption or the statement that is made, what is implied, is that we don't think you're capable of handling your resources adequately.
How do you know it?
How do I know that?
Are those people who make decisions dummies?
No, I think you're missing the core point. The core point I'm trying to make is that when you take my right to use my resources, when you take Mike's right away to use his resources, you're sending me the message that you don't think I can do it well, and that you think you, the government, think you can do it better. That is not the foundation that I believe this republic was built on, and it is not the value that I cling to very dearly.
Audrey, what do you think?
I agree with those points. Going back to your question about cabinet positions that come with a new president, I think when you were talking about with Obama being elected, why, you know, the world is noticing, you are noticing that he's making cabinet-level appointments as he becomes president. That's, of course, tradition, and it's largely political, and each one of those people who is appointed at a cabinet-level position is in some cases a figurehead. In some cases, they don't have a tremendous amount of background for the cabinet position they're appointed for. In other cases, they're highly qualified.
In a way, it is waste of money, public money.
In some way, but basically they are being appointed as an administrator of what they're in charge of. There is exceptions to my point. Of course, I think Hillary Clinton is highly qualified, and she was an excellent choice for Secretary of State, and I'm very pleased with that selection.
Hillary Clinton should hear this.
Yes. Yes, I think she's very competent and capable, and I'm I'm happy that he made that appointment. It was wise. But so she's not, I'm not referring to her, but there's other cabinet level positions, for example, you know, Health and Human Services, Secretary of Health and Human Services. He appointed a governor from a state to take that position, right? She was governor, I think, of Kansas. Mm-hmm. And while she's, you know, an experienced politician, she's not particularly experienced in health care. So she's administering Health and Human Services.
Okay. So I would like to compare Finnish healthcare system and your healthcare system. Our system is based on quite high taxes and public health care, all right? Of course, we have private doctors and private enterprises on this area. But here, you have insurance companies, and everything is based on insurances. And those are in stock exchange. Isn't that waste of money to do this way or not?
Mike, business view.
The insurance companies, yes, are traded on the stock exchange. And the majority of people in the United States, I forget, the small majority of people in the United States are invested in the stock market at some level and are probably invested in insurance companies. So, yes, we do own the people, own the insurance companies that we complain about. So, yes, you're correct in that. But socialized medicine is not the answer. I mean, we know that because being in one of the northern states, we see the Canadians coming to America for medical procedures because either the care is not adequate there or the timeline, the amount of time they have to wait is too long. So anybody who has the capability to come to the United States to have a surgery or a procedure done does so, including rich people in Europe. They don't. Oftentimes they come to America to get their heart bypass surgery or whatever they need because we have the best medicine in the world.
And the most expensive.
Yeah, we pay for.
I won't argue a bit that we have the best medical delivery system probably in the whole civilized world for those that can afford it. And that is currently one of our major social problems. The solution, however, is not managed care. The solution is not a situation in which the entire balance of wealth and the distribution of services is controlled by large industries that really has become quasi-socialized medicine that regulates who can get what and how much of that and at what cost. Having said all that, we do need medical insurance reform in this country, but I, along with Mike, I'm not convinced that a total socialized medicine delivery system is the best route.
How about half?
Half. I mean having a system that offered both?
Yes.
Well, in fact, many of the states have done that. For example, the state of Oregon has developed the Oregon Health Plan. Other states have had similar programs, some of which have been quite successful, that have been attempts to provide insurance for the otherwise uninsured.
Can I say something, too? I think you want your best and brightest to be doctors and researchers. And if you have your best and brightest entering an occupation that's government-run, and is perceived as inefficient and not compensated very well, then they're not going to go to that. Mm-hmm. So, I personally want doctors to make a good living because that's going to drive the smartest, hardest working people to become doctors. And isn't that what we want? We don't want the second tier student to become a doctor. We want the first tier student to become a doctor. I think it's too expensive, but I don't see the best and brightest right now in our society wanting a government job.
Kathy?
A discussion I participated in earlier today, it was very interesting to me how the Finnish system is set up, that you can take advantage of the government-sponsored health plan by going to, I don't know if they're clinics or how that's set up exactly, or if you choose, you may go to a private provider.
Of course.
And the government would subsidize that, but you would pay the difference.
To a certain extent.
Yes.
If the basic system doesn't provide help in proper time.
Yes. which is, I think, the problem of many Canadians is they don't feel they, because there is such a long waiting time, many of them feel they're not getting their testing or their procedures done in a timely, safe manner.
Mm-hmm. I'd like to provide an anecdotal story that captures the spirit of that socialized medicine in our neighbors to the north versus the form of medicine that we understand here in the United States. We have dear friends that live in Canada, one of whom is an RN. Her husband started developing significant degenerative type symptoms. He waited over 7 months before he could get an MRI. In the United States, or at least in Oregon, there are imaging stores, shops in every town of 25,000 or more, and you can get one within less than a week. 7 months before he received his diagnosis of a chronic brain degenerative disorder. That's inexcusable.
Well, I have to say we have the same kind of problems in Finland. Audrey.
I would just add one point to the healthcare discussion that wasn't mentioned, is that we have a unique situation in that all of the United States, but particularly the West Coast and states that border Mexico, have a serious drain on our system, healthcare systems, by illegal aliens that come across the border from Mexico in search of work and in search of good health care for their family, and truly, who can blame them? But we have a commitment to provide services to people who are truly in need, and yet they are not able to pay. So people who are paying for their health insurance end up footing the bill indirectly for many people who come across the border in search of health care.
Okay, so unemployment is rising in the United States, and more people are in trouble. And then, you all are Republicans. So what do you think about unemployment benefits and welfare in the United States? Mike.
Well, I personally don't think any child should ever be hungry in America. I think we're too rich of a country to allow that to happen. And, you know, there's a lot of mechanisms to take care of that. I mean, there's feed kids at school. You know, we require everybody to go to school. We feed them at school. I don't think that's an issue. I don't think that's a Republican or Democrat issue, per se.
But in political discussion, it is.
I think, yes, I think you're right. The last person to cut welfare benefits was Bill Clinton. Bill Clinton was one of the most admired Democratic presidents we've ever had. And I think Bill Clinton did the right thing by reducing welfare benefits and the time that people could be on them.
Why he did it?
To help balance our budget.
Bill Clinton encouraged people to work.
Yes, and Bill Clinton knew that our economy is not going to flourish with a huge national debt. Mm-hmm. See, we have to reduce our debt to help our economy flourish. And that's one thing Bill Clinton understood, is that his opportunity to get reelected was dependent upon how the economy was doing. So he broke away from a lot of his promises he made to the Democratic Party to get elected and moved to the right for economic policies that benefited the economy, because he wanted to get that second four-year term.
I would offer that in this current economic crisis, I personally favor at there being unemployment benefits available to people, because many
Better than now?
Like they are now, because I think that, and I think that those benefits have been extended because of current conditions, and there are many people who really want to work who are just not able to find a job right now, and those people need to be able to feed their families and pay their utilities and stay in their homes. So I'm in favor of that, but what I'm not in favor of is, in different economic conditions, people feeling comfortable receiving help from the government instead of going out and looking for a job. But that's not our current condition. Our current condition is jobs are hard to find.
So what is the difference between Democrats then? This sounds quite democratic.
Well, in my opinion, with regard to economic policy, I think it goes back to the point about Democrats feeling that government can play a very important role in providing services that benefit all the citizens. Now, Republicans would agree to that to a point, but I think most Republicans believe that that the role of government should be more limited. It should be, we should certainly have excellent schools funded by our taxes. We should have infrastructure for transportation, such as roads, bridges. We should have a strong military, which is a very large expenditure for the United States government.
Is it too big?
Well, in current conditions, I don't think it's too big. There's a lot going on, and the United States has a lot of irons in the fire, so to speak. And frankly, I think many countries who have been somewhat critical of America whether they acknowledge it or not, other countries do enjoy some benefits of the United States being willing to spend large amounts of money and resources on their military to go after dangerous situations, dangerous countries, terrorists, you know, in the hopes of making the world a safer place, not only for America, but for all countries. So I would say, you know, that if anything, you know, for current conditions, I think that we should be funding at the level we are. Maintaining a strong
military.
Any
other opinions?
I'd like to briefly return to the issue of unemployment benefits and welfare benefits. I believe that a core American value that is neither democratic nor republic, and I think it's a value probably held by many other countries as well, is that any society will be measured by the way it cares for the less fortunate amongst them. Having said that, I personally believe that we need unemployment benefits. We need welfare benefits. The issue is who deserves them, though. And under what conditions do they deserve them? It was alluded earlier that maybe some individuals believe that they need not work, that they don't have to assume responsibility for working, or that there's some entitlement to benefit just by virtue of living in this country. That I do not support. And that may be where the battle line becomes drawn at times between Republicans and Democrats. On the whole, however, I believe that this country as a whole wants to support all of those in need.
Since you all are more or less conservatives, let's put it this way, Republicans, how do you comment George Bush? Did he succeed or not?
I think George Bush had convictions, and he followed those convictions, whether it was popular or not. George Bush's primary concern was to make sure that the United States citizens were safe, because he was on the job for 4 months and we got bombed.
Yes,
9/11. Yeah. And that was his one issue that I don't think he could have slept at night unless he knew that he did everything he possibly could to protect the citizens of the country that he was elected to lead.
So was it mission impossible?
We didn't get bombed again. So I think he did. I honestly think he did a good job at that. He was a terrible communicator.
Terrible
communicator. But he did what was right. And I think the reason the world and the United States had such a negative perception of George Bush was the way he won the election. There was many Americans, nearly half, who thought he didn't win the election, if you remember.
Both of them.
Yes. So if you think that the person that was elected illegally, there's no way you could ever support him. I could see where, if I felt that way, I would never. It'd be difficult to support that president.
Many Europeans think that George Bush did not understand other countries, didn't understand the world.
Well, again, I would agree that he was not a very effective communicator, and I would also say that he was stubborn. He's a stubborn man. He's firm in his convictions. And he will not be swayed. He will listen, but he will not be swayed from his convictions. And I think that conveyed an arrogance, which perhaps there was some arrogance there, but I believe he was just acting on his convictions. And I suspect that history, as time passes, history will look back upon his presidency with a gentler view than the world currently has.
How about the question, he did not understand world?
The world?
Global world, international politics.
Well, I think he did. But again, he was stubborn and he was extremely focused on the war on terror. So that was his primary concern, and most interactions he had in the world were related to that. So they were perhaps he did not interact as extensively as, for example, Obama has started his presidency off by doing. But many of us are frustrated by President Obama's initial tour around the world, by the apologies he's making on behalf of our country, because many of us don't feel that we're a country that needs to be ashamed of ourselves. Mm-hmm. We recognize we have imperfections. We recognize that President Bush portrayed a certain amount of arrogance that offended some people. But as a nation, do we need to go around apologizing, particularly to controversial world leaders? Many of us are bothered by that.
By living on the farther edges of the Western Hemisphere, it's easy to be isolated and be set aside both emotionally as well as politically from the rest of the world. And I think, in fact, that's the way America is often viewed by the rest of the world, because we are in another hemisphere and another place. I'd also like to remind us all that this country has never, except for a brief little experience at the Alamo in Texas, has never had an attack on our soil by a foreign force until 3-4 months after George Bush was into his first term. He took that very seriously. We have not been attacked since. And I agree, his communication skills have been deplorable. He is presented as arrogant. But if the world isn't willing to look at the protection position he was trying to take of a country that had never been attacked before, then maybe I would argue that the rest of the world doesn't understand George Bush, as opposed to argue that George Bush didn't understand the rest of the world.
The last question. How long does it take before America is back on his feet?
We're doing better than the rest than Europe, so I'm hoping that it's soon that we can get out of it. But everybody talks about the failures of the U.S. economy when we're outperforming the rest of the world's economy, as far as what we can tell.
My concern is that we got an artificial boost from the stimulus packages, which, you know, it is what it is. It was voted on, the bailout, and it does seem to be having some effect in the short term. We will see if in the long term, if the policies prove to have been wise. I have a lot of concern about the precedents that are being set right now about the mortgage rescuing. There are a lot of people who entered into home mortgages that were buying houses they could not afford, and now, because our economy is in such crisis, there are people who are being rescued or offered assistance. And in my opinion, there's a sentiment of entitlement and people wanting to be rescued right now from their own bad decisions. So I'm a little concerned about the long-term effect of some of the measures that are being currently taken with regards to getting the economy back on track. I'm also a little concerned about what was mentioned earlier with the government getting involved in private business. That is really, I think, has the potential to upset the apple cart for the American way of capitalism. And the way we do business is looking different right now. So we shall see how this plays out.
Kathy?
I think that is my worry with Obama as well. Overall, he speaks very well. He presents programs, and I agree with many of his ideas and many of his thoughts. I think they're very good. But the way he's implementing them and way decisions are being made and a lot of a lot of money is being committed that we don't have, and I'm not
sure. You print more money, actually.
Oh, well, I'm concerned for the future,
how this will all
really sort out in the end. I feel concerned for his lack of experience.